I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Psalms is a wonder book of both the Old and New Testaments. What descriptions we have in the book of Psalms. What great doctrines are proclaimed with such tremendous language in the book of Psalms. What sweetness is taken up with mind and thought and meditation in the great book of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 19. And when we look at this Psalm, we have a demonstration of description. The heavens declare the glory of God. And in that declaration, the outshining glory of the indescribable night scene of Scripture, the night scene of heaven, speaking to heaven in the nights that come after the full sun of a new day. We have the God of heaven taking the temperature of all his creatures. And where he, the maker of all things, meets and communicates with his whole created world. I turn to the holy pages of Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9, and note the attitude of that psalm. Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. In those few words, the whole of creation is summed up. Look at them carefully. Note the altitude of the glory of Emmanuel's land. No wonder it decrees a new song. The praises of God without any strings or pipes. Let us today tarry for a moment or two in our lives, and patiently wait until we hear the octave of God's melody. And what a melody it is. Surely nothing but the newest peal of the newest of new songs. Only the newest of songs can occupy the wonders of the songs of praise. For the word of God is right, and all his works are done in truth. No one but God Almighty can say that. Only God Almighty can proclaim the fact that he alone does his works in truth. But what about this Psalm 19? What a declaration does this Psalm declare? Here we have a demonstration of the uniquest character and melody of all the Bible. It shreds all around the virtue of its own demonstration. Here we have the God of the greatest heaven taking the temperature of this wonderful creature of the golden creation, the finest of the fine. Turn to the holy pages of this psalm. Open your Bible at Psalm 19. What a psalm this is. Here we have a description of description. Here we have the heavens describing the heavens. Here we have the glory of God showing forth the glory of God. Oh, how almighty is the word of God. And how immeasurable are the night scenes of God's atmosphere when he showeth his knowledge. Here we have the God of heaven taking the temperature of his creatures and his own wonderful creation, where the maker and the made ones meet and communicate together. Turn the holy pages to Psalm 33. And in verse 6 to verse 9, note the elevation of the glory of Emmanuel's land. Does it not deserve a new song? The praises of God without strings or pipes. Tarry and wait for it. And if you tarry with patience, and wait for it with patience, suddenly the sweetness of God's wonderful inspiration will settle down upon your heart. Oh, what a new song is recorded in the Word of God. Listen, the Word of the Lord is right. All that he does is in truth. He loveth riches and judgment. He loveth the creation and is filled with judgment upon what he has created. Away with worn out praise, but put life, soul, heart, into every song and all its music. And every song will be playing its tune skillfully and spiritually. For God deserves the best, and God's praise is the best for it is his own praise coming from the depths of his soul. Here we have the God of heaven taking the temperature of his creatures and his wonderful creation, where the maker and the made ones meet and communicate. Turn the holy pages and stop again at verse 6 of Psalm 33. Note the elevation of the glory of Emmanuel's land. Doesn't it deserve a new song? The praises of God must have a new musical instrument. We must tarry and wait for the breaking forth of a new melody and octave of God's precious newsman. Surely nothing but a new song can be the outcome of those that put their eye upon the Lord and put their ear on the Lord so as to see and hear the wonder of our God. Away with the praises of man. Away with the life and soul and heart and song and music that are all stamped with a human stamp. Who can reveal the wonder of God's songs? Who can stop in the midst of life's journeys and life's hardships and life's battles just to listen to the singing of God? You say to me, does God sing? Of course he sings. And the sweetest words that I know in this scripture is when God incarnate walked this earth. And he led his apostles in singing heaven's songs. Have you ever taken time to really read this 19th psalm? We have in this psalm a demonstration, a description. We have God declaring the glory of God. Just stop there for a minute. Think of it. God declaring the glory of God. In that declaration, we have the outshining glory of the indescribable night scene of the whole heavenly stratosphere and the whole heavenly agents in that stratosphere. Here we have the God of heaven taking the temperature of all his creatures, and where the maker of all things meets and communicates with himself. He cannot communicate with his creatures, for they are creatures. It is a himself with a being that is eternal, with a wisdom that is omniscient. This is our God. And he will be our guide even after death. Turn Open the book of Psalms. Come join me in the glory of Emmanuel's land. Come and sing with me today the new song. And there are praises of the Redeemer. Let us tarry and patiently wait for the octave of God's melody. Oh, what a psalm, this 19th psalm is of the Psalter. There's a demonstration here that has never been foregone or predated. The heavens declare the glory of God. Jesus Christ had a peculiar glory in his body. And upon a cross, and upon a cross of wood, they nailed his body to the tree. But in the darkness and in the sorrow, in the sadness of dark Calvary, there shined a shining light. We read that there was no light for 3 hours at the cross. No, there was no light at the cross, created for that awful sufferings of Christ. But there was a light shining from the heart of Jesus. Oh, someday you and I will stand in the city of God, and that light will flash again. And when the hallelujah chorus of the eternity of the saints shall rise up in the glory land, and you and I will worship God the Father, Son and Holy Ghost, with all the depths of our heart and soul and mind, we shall know something of the elevation of singing unto the Lord. Oh, that God would indeed teach us the wonder of the mystery of the gospel. In reading this psalm, I was struck with the fact of the presentation that it makes of man. First of all, we see man as a cured man. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Who is this man who can rejoice? Is he not a sinner? Is he not a child of hell? Is he not the offspring of Satan? Is he not one who has already been tried and sentenced because of his sin? Yes, but thank God, he's one who is rejoicing. This psalm presents me with the photograph that's on the heart of Christ himself. The photograph of the man and woman of God. And it starts with a photograph of the cured man Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. But then it turns to the cleansed man. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The man who has the blood mark on him, he's not only cured, but he's cleansed. But it's not only the cured man we have here, and the cleansed man, there's the changed man. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I could not sit down honestly at my desk and try to write a comment on that. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Someday, one great angel will take me to the library of God and will open the books that I have never seen and cannot see until I reach the glory land, and will explain to me what that drought of summer is like as far as God is concerned. How heavy is the hand of God. But thank God, how glorious is the changed man under the hand of God. We not only have the cured man here, and the cleansed man here, and the converted man here, and the changed man here, but we have the confessing man here. I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and mine iniquities have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. What a word is this. The man who from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head was an abomination to God has now acknowledged his sins, has now refused to hide another minute his sins, but has confessed them all and has turned his back on the iniquity of his own sins. But we not only have the cured man and the cleansed man and the converted man and the changed man and the confessing man, we have the consecrated man. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. The consecrated man praying in the full light of the eye of God shining upon his inmost soul. But this is a revelation of a concealed man, because he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me. Thou shalt compass me with the songs of deliverance. But he's not only the concealed man, he's the commanded man. In verse 8, God tells him, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. What a day when we get to heaven under the personal care of the Christ of God. When his eye shall be on us all the time. But this leads to a constraint. Be ye not as the horse and as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near to thee. The cured man, the cleansed man, the converted man, the changed man, the consecrated man, the concealed man, the commanded man, the constrained man. A word is at end in the comfort of the eternal city of God. Be glad in the Lord. And rejoice, ye righteous, and shout with joy, all ye that are upright in heart. When I read these things in the Bible, I want to sing the glory song and anticipate what will be mine and never can be taken from me. The peace, the glory, the comfort, and the melody of the King's palace, where the bunions of this world and the vile sinners of this world and the vilest of thieves and murderers in this world, but changed by the grace of God, will meet in eternal partnership and companionship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and will sing as only the voice of a hallelujah glorified Son of God can sing. Christ. Christ is the glory of Emmanuel's land. If you're here this morning and you know nothing about his love, his grace, his tenderness, his compassion, and his peace, oh dear sinner, you can turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. And the people of God said, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. And we pray that this word may burn itself into our soul. Help us to view the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to look into the Father's face and say, Father, thank you for giving your Son for me. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. And may God bless us. And may God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen, and shouted, Hallelujah. God bless you.